Isaiah 12 and 3 says, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." I'd like to continue the idea a little bit of drawing water out of the well. Water is something that is life-giving and life-sustaining. You can't do without it. So we need water. The thought tonight I'd like to deal with is the well of purpose. I believe that in the great heart of God, that there is a plan for every one of us. I believe that He has made a path or a trail, if you will. He's made a plan for every one of us, individual and unique to us, that is tailor-made to get us to heaven. Yes. But I believe that because of the way He created us to have choice, we don't have to follow that plan. But we have the opportunity and privilege to be able to find that plan. I don't know how it's been with you, but with me it's been a labor, a work, a seeking, a desiring, a wanting to be able to find it. I believe the Lord has for you and I a purpose tonight. Every one of us. I believe there is a purpose for us to follow. So I want to start tonight with scripture in 1 Samuel. It's a very familiar scripture. 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David. And I won't take the time to read all of it, but we probably remember this story. David was out in the field taking care of his father's sheep. And his three older brothers, I believe it was, had went off with King Saul and was in the army of Israel. And there was a battle about to take place. So Jesse, David's father, got David, told him, "Here, you take this corn and bread and cheese and go up and greet the captain and find out how your brother is faring." So David, obedient, went up. Now, I think he was a little curious about what was going up there. He was a young man, I'm sure he was. He goes up there, and in my mind, David was a man, a young lad at the time, that had already experienced some of the purpose of his life. I think that he had an experience with God. He believed in Him, prayed to Him, sang about Him, meditated about Him. Must have had, as a young man, great wonderments of what life would have held, what maybe it was really like to have been those ancient brethren, those that had went before him. See, I believe that David, being a part of Israel, knew the stories. Don't you think he did? Don't you think that it was handed down, maybe sitting around the while they ate, maybe Jesse would rehearse what had been rehearsed to him, that was rehearsed to him. Down through the ages, it said about the battles that had taken place. Surely he knew about Moses crossing the Red Sea. Joshua, city of Jericho. Those kind of things, I imagine he knew them quite well. All those stories ended in victory. All those stories was told to the glory of God and great honor and majesty of a God that they served. So David found that God a reality, didn't he? The same God that had delivered Gideon delivered David. The same God that made the city's walls fall down at Jericho delivered David from the lion and the bear. He found it as a reality, and in my mind, this sets the best setting to understand the situation that David's going into. Now he goes up there with purpose. With purpose. He went up there with purpose. He had a job to do, and he went up there with purpose. But there was a greater purpose to David than all that. That God would be glorified in his life. In the life of Israel. So David goes up there, and he gets up there, and right off, there's a great commotion. I'm rehearsing it from my memory and my vision of it. And there's all the murmuring, and then people running to and fro to get a good ringside seat, so to speak. Yeah, people are. Here he comes again. Let's see if we can see him real good. People's running around. And David's, what's this? What is this? Just now here comes out this big old guy, 9 foot 9 inches tall, men around him, and he hollers up and he starts his blasphemous words against God and against the armies of God, challenging them. He wasn't just challenging them as men, was he? He wasn't putting them down for just being a man. He was defying God. And David saw all that, and I imagine he was pretty stirred at it. What's this going on? Probably waiting around, This story's about to end just the way they always do. He must have some nerve. Has he not heard the stories? He hadn't heard the stories. And what he found there was a different situation. This is what he found. 28th verse. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see us battle. Lord, help us tonight, but don't be discouraged by opposition. Because it will always be there. I remember after I first got saved, I wanted to live for the Lord so bad. And I started doing what was normal things to do. And one of the first accusations come my way is, oh, look how he's trying to dress. He thinks he's so good. Well, it was a long ways from that. But there was an immediate attempt to say, I know the pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. He was trying to lay something off, wasn't he? That's all he was trying to do, trying to lay something off. Something pricked his heart there. David had come in. David, it wasn't pride that caused David to do what he done. It wasn't nothing to do with pride. David had a purpose. There was a purpose that was more important to him than anything else in the world was important to him. That was important. A purpose that he had. I know that pride and the naughtiness of your heart. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. So we know the story here, but David, when he rehearsed these words and he said, is there not a cause? What is your cause tonight? What is the highest purpose of your life tonight? You got a purpose? You know, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. I believe that tonight. There is a purpose. The Scripture says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Do you know that there is a more nobler, more honorable, more exalted, if you will, life than just living down here in this old earth doing earthly things? There is an honesty, a God-fearing attitude, a God-glorifying attitude, a purpose of why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. And I want to say tonight that we don't draw our purpose from the world. We don't draw it from the world. We draw it from God and godly things and godly principles and godly passions and godly desires and a want and a desire to see God glorified is the purpose of our lives. It's why we're here. We're not just here to get our name put on a billboard or on a sign. We're not here just to try to make a bank account. We're not here to try to make a splash. We're here to glorify God. To lift up God with our lives, the Scripture also says, when you eat or you drink, do all that you do to the glory of God. That was Paul, I believe, speaking concerning an argument that people made about what you should eat and what you shouldn't. And what you can drink and what you shouldn't. And how the whole thing goes. And Paul put it in a perspective. Whatever you do, do it with a heart and a purpose to glorify God. If it don't glorify God to eat it, then don't eat it. Think of what David did here. He goes up there as a young lad and says, with a purpose. Do you think he meant this? Or do you think it was pride? Do you think he meant it? He proved he meant it. He proved he meant it because he ended up saying, you need a man? You might look on me and say, I am not much of a man, but I'm going to tell you tonight that God was with me. When I faced the lion and when I faced the bear, God was with me. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just as they are if I go down there to meet him in the name of God. He didn't do it in his own power and his own strength, but he done it with a purpose. He said in his heart, it's more important that to me that I die and not stand up for God. I'd rather die than not stand up for God. And when he went down there to face him, he didn't go down there and say, David's name is going to be glorified from this day on. David's going to be known as a mighty man when I get through here, Goliath. You know what he said? Come in the name of the Lord. You come with sword, spear, you got all that stuff on you. You're a mighty man, but I come in the name of the Lord. A purpose that he had, a cause. And he said, is there not a cause or is there not a reason? He said to them, I wonder if those words didn't knife into someone's heart. Is there not a cause? You're standing where I'm standing. You've heard the stories that's went down through the ages. Oh, ask us tonight in simplicity. Do you believe that the Red Sea really parted? Now, come on, folks. Do you really believe that the Red Sea really literally parted? Yeah, me too. And you know what else I believe? I believe he split a lot of Red Seas for me. Not some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Just recently. He's done some things for me too. Is there not a cause for us to be able to show people in 2010 that God's still alive and well? Is this still a miracle working God today? Does he deliver from sin? Does he deliver from habits? Does he lift man up out of the mire and muck of sin? Yes. Yes, he does. Does he help you and I to be bigger than ourselves? Does he put us up higher? On a higher plane of life than the world around us? See, we don't draw. Too many people draw their purposes from the world. The reasons that they do things. When I first got saved, I found it very important to go to service. I started going over with the saints there at Green Bank and all. I wish that everyone could feel. Oh, I used to say this before. I wish I could trade places with people sometimes just for a little bit. But then they wouldn't want to give me back. Because of what God's got going on in here. And I felt it so important to go to service, and so I would drive 91 miles one way over two major mountain divides. I'm not bragging on myself, but there was a purpose. And it wasn't because of the pride or the naughtiness of my heart that I'd done it. It was because I had a deep longing for God, and I didn't feel like I could make it through a week without having something from God. So it, as Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. It caused me. It gave me reason. I had a purpose. I didn't get that purpose from the world. The world looked at me, and religious world looked at me, and many of them voiced that thought that they had. What are you doing? You're driving 91 miles to go to church? There's churches all around you, they would say. What is this guy? Is he crazy or something? Some of them would say. No, I had a purpose. And I didn't expect the world to understand the purpose. Now, the world can understand some purposes. At the same time, some of the folks that could not understand why a guy would do what I was doing would take off and drive all the way over to the Virginia beach for a weekend. They'd drive twice that far for a football game. And they'd go that far for a rock concert. And drive right back. 5-6 hours one way, go to the concert and drive back. And they called me crazy. But they understood that there was a purpose. They had a purpose. Folks, we don't draw our purpose from the world. The world has purpose. It has reason. It has desires. It has things that it promotes and builds. But it's not godly. It's not a godly purpose. It's not a godly way. We are unique. We will be unique. I'll tell you today, the more you serve the Lord, the Scripture says, they that would live godly shall suffer persecution. Why? Because the world's purpose is different than God's purpose. That's why they look at it totally, totally different. I've heard these accounts before. I knew a brother that testified to me about having a chance to be an NFL football player. And he had everything it took to do it. And then the Lord dealt with him. And he gave it up. Now, isn't that just weird? Do you know how many people would give just about anything they had to be an NFL football player? And this guy found a deeper purpose. He found a purpose that wasn't going to be taken away from him. Aren't you glad that you don't get too old to serve the Lord? Aren't you glad you don't get too feeble to serve the Lord? Do you know that really enhances serving the Lord? Now, wait a minute, Brother Marty. Yes, I'm saying that with purpose, sometimes that purpose has to do with suffering. Now, the world will say that's a ridiculous concept. Get the morphine. Get the painkillers. Get comfortable. Do whatever you can to eliminate any kind of suffering because nobody wants to suffer. I don't either. But I recognize something. I recognize a purpose that's bigger than I am. A way that God has done something. I'll ask you this question. Was it possible for the Lord Jesus to secure our salvation without suffering? Brother Wall just said no. He said no. It was not possible for us to get eternal salvation without the Lord suffering. He paid for our salvation through suffering. He suffered the humiliation not only of the physical pain of the cross, but of the humiliation of sin. He suffered the humiliation and the rejection of people, His own people. He suffered in His life. He suffered in His death. He suffered and gave Himself. And you know, there's people that looks at that story of Jesus and we say it's beautiful and full of purpose. We find so much hope in it, don't we? Thank God for it. You know, a lot of the world looks at that story and says that is one of the most hideous stories they've ever told. To think that a man would have to go through something like that. I'm glad he did. Lord, help you and I today to live with purpose. Purpose in God. I know of someone else told me they felt like that they had the gift to be able to play basketball. They were good. And then they got saved. And they gave it up. A lot of people would look at that and say, I'd like to be able to do that. They had a higher purpose. Story that right comes to my mind right off, just to, don't want to exactly exalt anybody, but I want to bring out the point. What would make a guy that, a minister that at any particular time could have fell in the floor with a seizure? What would make a fellow like that get on a plane and travel halfway around the world? When his father-in-law got malaria there, sister-in-law did too. And he did too. What would make a fellow do something like that? Isn't that just a little over the top? Isn't that a little out there? No, it's purpose. It's purpose. Because you see, God did split the Red Sea. He really did. He really did make the walls of Jericho fall down. He did deliver Gideon with only a few people. And He still works for us. So Lord, help us to have purpose to serve God with. Because He'll take care of you and I no matter where we step out to. Now, I wasn't in any particular way trying to exalt anybody that's still living, but I do want to make a point with it. There's a whole lot more God could use than what He's got. God wants more people to have that heart of David. I'll fight that giant for you, Lord. I'll exalt you here in this time. Do you know I'm just simple enough to believe that He really did all that He said He did? I really believe that stuff. And there are people that looked at my life and said, What do you think you're doing? I had God definitely deal in my life to call me to be a preacher. I wouldn't have chose to be in one for nothing. When I was a sophomore in high school, I tried to give a 3-minute report, oral report, and went to pieces. Everybody laughed at me. I was talking so fast. They laughed at me. After everybody quieted down, I tried to do it again, and they laughed at me again. And the teacher said, "All right, Marty, sit down. You can do it later." And I said, "No way. I do it now or I'm never doing it." And I made my way through it. And then still I got a C-. I thought I'd add an A for even trying. But it wasn't much of a talk, I'll be honest. But I never figured I'd stand before anybody. But you know, the Lord dealt with me definitely in my life about my calling. And it just was, Lord. Yes, Lord, I actually said to the Lord, "I'll make a fool of myself for you, Lord. If that's what you want me to do, I'll make a fool." It wasn't long after that I knew positively that the Lord dealt with me to give up my job and go full time in the work of the Lord. I know the Lord did it. You couldn't take that from me. I believe it with all my heart. And I made an agreement with the Lord. "I'll trust you. You'll take care of me." Pretty simple agreement, isn't it? You know, someone come up to me, it was years ago, and said, "Brother Marty, I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind me asking. Does the saints support you?" And I said, "I'm going to tell you, saints have been good to me, but I didn't make no agreement with them." You know, the Lord has took care of me of all kind of ways. All kind of ways. Sometimes the meal barrel just don't run out. Sometimes it just seems like things stretches and stretches. And if it don't come one way, it comes another. It's always been just a good even all the way through. Just good and even. God always taking, always meeting the needs. But then again, it's not strange. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. God's looking for people that's willing to go to the well of purpose and get purpose about their life in God and believe in Him that He is alive and He is working and live like it. Put your heart into it and live like it. Show the world around that there's still a God. There still is a God. I'm so glad that He's willing to work individually. Everybody here can't be a preacher. But everyone's called to a purpose. Everyone's called for a purpose. I'd like to look at another scripture. Oh, look over in Hebrews, 3rd chapter. Oh, I like this scripture. I'll start reading from the first verse. This is Paul. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I want you to think in your mind what Paul actually done. This was his whole life. He grew up this way. He understood this way. He believed this way. His friends, his family, all of those that are around him, many people had great confidence in Paul, in the Jewish religion. You think of what he done when he turned from that. That wasn't any little thing that he done. It was a magnificent thing that he done. It took a lot to do what Paul done. Because not only that, but Paul had the ability to be one of the top of what he had. He put it down there. He wrote it down there what made him what he was. And he said to them, if you think or feel that you have confidence in the flesh, then compare it to the confidence that I could have had in the flesh. And here was his listing. I've done all these things. I had the pedigree. I had it all. You couldn't find a fault with me concerning the Jewish religion. I had it all. But this is what he said he done with it. But those things which gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You cannot draw your purpose from the world and be successful. You cannot draw your calls or your reason for what you do from the world. It's got to be from God. When Paul was going on the road to Damascus, he ran into his calls. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? God dealt with Paul for a reason. He chose him for a reason. God can choose anyone he wants. But God, that he was ignorant of it, but that he done it supposing that he done the will of God. That's why he done what he done. And when he run in to Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he got a testimony, I believe, that carried him through. He mentioned it several times in the scripture. I think it went dozens, if not multi-dozens, if not hundreds of times, was mentioned in his ministry. I was on the road to Damascus. I imagine he started out a lot of his discourses with people by saying, let me tell you something. I was on the road to Damascus. And I found a purpose. I run into the Lord there. And the Lord started dealing with my life and gave me a direction for my life. Now I I thought I had it down, but the Lord came and dealt with me, and now I've got a direction to know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I want to tell you, He done it with His heart, did He not? Paul was the same one that came up there and told those that are around him, I'm going up to Jerusalem. Oh, but wait, one prophesied, took his girdle and bound him around and said, the man whose girdle this is, if he goes, he'll be bound. And Paul said, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die. I'm giving my life to this, my heart to this. He said, why do you weep and break my heart? Oh, there's a purpose, folks. That's what he was saying to him. Don't you know that there's a purpose? Why I go? I'm going to be able to spread the good word of God. I'm going with purpose and desire. That's why I'm going. He said, I counted it all loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We find all of our purpose here. We can be forced through, many times through peer pressures and through church pressures, if you will, to do things and all those kind of things. But the greatest fulfillment, with joy, yes, with joy, we draw water out of the wells of salvation when we do it with all of our heart. When we do it because this is what I want to do and accomplish for God. I remember an experience I had with a young girl one time. She was smoking. And I mentioned something to her about her smoking. I knew that she had told the Lord one time that she'd quit. Well, she was smoking. And I said, I thought you told the Lord you wouldn't do that. Well, she was still smoking. So I told her, I said, oh, she said that stuff about the temple and defiling the temple and all this other. So don't, you know, eating too many ribs or whatever, too much pork. And I mean, the arguments. You know, I said, that's not my real problem with it. It's part of it. I said, do you know what my real problem is? What? I said, what do you do when you get nervous? I said, what do you do when the phone rings and it's bad news? She said, I got to have a cigarette. Yeah. I said, I know. I've seen you do it. But I said, do you know that that cigarette is replacing a place that the Lord wants in your life to hold? She said, you don't think so. And I said, I know so. You are replacing the Lord in your heart with a cigarette to try to find comfort and relief of stress. And I said, you know what the Lord wants you to do when you get that call? He wants you to find His strength. He wants you to find His reality there in that. You can say to people you oughtn't smoke, or we'll ban it in places. You can do that legally. I mean, you can do that kind of stuff. But you know what's the best way of doing all this? I'm talking about a purpose. For people to get to know the Lord and love Him and say, Lord, I wouldn't put anything in there that would hinder that working relationship and purpose that I have. I totally disagree with abortion. But blowing up abortion clinics don't get to the heart of it. I'll even say this. Making a disturbance around with signs really don't get to the bottom of it either. But I'll tell you what will get to the bottom of it. When somebody finds the Lord, a reality in their heart. You know, there's all kind of causes, purposes that the world wants to give people. All kinds of them.
But there's only one that really works, that's really right. And that's when we draw our purpose, not from the world, not from the flesh, but when we draw it from God, our purpose. Lord, what would you? I want to see God's kingdom increase. I've had people even would get very involved with these, hope I don't get in trouble for this, but TV evangelists. I've known people that just put their heart into these people. And they were siphoning people's money off. There was one guy that used to, he had one message that I ever heard that he ever preached. It was, if you'll send me your money, God will bless you. And he preached it with fervor. And he got people believing that until they sent this guy money and money. At one point, this guy was taking in $1 million a week. $1 million a week, this guy was rolling in. Well, what's wrong with that? It's got the wrong purpose. You know what our prayer has been? Again, I don't want to sound like I am boastful, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I like to say it like Brother Salmon said. Brother Salmon used to say 35 and 40 years. Well, I can't say that. I've not been preaching that long. But for 15 years, I lived by faith and never took up an offering for myself. We'd take the tent meeting around. Brother and I would run the tent meeting around. We'd never take up an offering from it. For years, that's the way we worked. And you know what our prayer was? Together our prayer was, Lord, give us souls for our heart. Wasn't after money. We wanted people to be saved. Wanted God to be glorified. We had a purpose of doing it. Why does people leave their comforts to go do that? They got a purpose. What is the heart of the evangelist? What is the heart of the missionary? That God's work would increase, that souls would be saved. A purpose that's in our hearts. I think Paul had that very same experience in his life. Follow his life through some time and see what he done. He wrote about some of it there. He also spent his days, some of them in jail. At one point, it almost sounded like he was a little down almost, it seemed like, there in one of the readings where he said, tell Mark, bring me my coat or something to that effect. Sounded like he was cold here and down in that old prison. But his attitude, the way he wrote, I love the words of it. The Apostle Paul, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote to those people from jail or with Roman shackles on his legs and wrote these words. Paul, Apostle Paul, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that high purpose? I'm not here because the Romans got me shackled. I'm not here because somebody betrayed me and turned me in. I'm here because the Lord Jesus put me here for the fullness of the gospel. I'm here that God can use me as an instrument of eternal salvation to souls. It's a purpose that I've dedicated myself to, being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know if we ain't careful, we get our attitudes bent out of shape over a few little words somebody says and forget our purpose. We'll get all bent out of shape over a little action somebody does and get ourselves offended. Lord, help us. And here Paul was a prisoner and he said, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. David said one time when the guy was across the ravine there, cursing him, calling him a dog. And his captain said, I could just see him, pull his sword out and said, let me go over and take his head off. You know what David's words? The Lord hath said, curse David. The Lord put that man over there for that reason. You let him alone. God has said, curse David. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's a purpose for our lives. You believe in the grace of God? You believe the grace of God can keep you? No matter what your situation is today, I want to challenge you. I'm not in your situation, so I can't show it. You're not in mine. But God's got grace for that situation and purpose to be able to show the grace and glory of God through your life. to say, here is a how. How can that happen without grace? Lord, help us to see those that went down before us and the battles that they fought and the purpose that they had. Brother Sammons one time told me that he was there at the house so sick he could hardly do anything, and he got a phone call. Somebody way up in the New England state somewhere. Brother Sammons, I'm up here and I'm sick. Would you come pray for me? What do you think Brother Sammons did in the middle of the night? He got up and got dressed. Went out and got in his car. And he said he drove off. And he started praying and begging God. Lord, I can't do this. I'm so sick. He told me, he said, I know I was sicker than they was when I left. But he started pouring his heart out to the Lord. And the Lord met him on the road and healed him right there in his car for the purpose. Same God that split the Red Sea can help a man go and accomplish what he has to do. To the glory of God, people have lived their lives. One of the best readings of this is in Hebrews 11. It's known as the faith chapter. And there are really encouraging words. Want to pick it up? Seventh verse, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, by faith Noah. Now I want to ask you something. Was old Noah had a man with a purpose? God gave a man a purpose. He gave old Noah a purpose, didn't he? Never had rained before. Now you imagine, never had rained before. Some 100 years or so before the fact of one, a man starts building a boat. He starts building a big boat out there. Did you imagine what kind of scoffing must have happened when he started building that boat? Noah, what are you doing? What kind of contraption is that? It's a boat. It's an ark. Well, what are you building it for? Because the Lord forewarned me. It's going to be a big flood. Noah, you're beside yourself. Come along with that now. There was a purpose. Noah had a purpose. Can you see the purpose that Noah had? Direction of God and purpose that the world couldn't give him. The world can't foresee anything. They don't know anything. But God did. And he gave it to Noah by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Abraham! They tell me you're leaving out. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going wandering for a while. just going. You don't know where you're going? Well, look what you're leaving. That don't make no sense, Abraham. You heard what? You heard a voice in the night? You'd have to have more than that to get me go. By faith. With purpose. He had a purpose. Have you ever had God lead you into something that you had no idea what the outcome would be? But you just know God led you into it and wanted you to go that way and did not reveal the end of the thing at all, but said go. It is faith, but it's our purpose to have it, isn't it? Don't we want faith in God? I read this and I say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to have faith enough to fulfill the purpose. God has a purpose for our lives. Your life, my life, all of our lives is a purpose. And it's all magnificent to us. It's not boring. It's fascinating what God will do with the purpose that He gives us. Noah built in the face of laughing. He kept his purpose. Abraham took off and sojourned in the land of promise. And he never got the promise in his lifetime. He sojourned there. But by faith he received. He had a purpose. Do you know that Abraham is a very important character in the Scriptures? Because the whole idea of faith comes through Abraham. He was the father of faith. He believed and counted God worthy. Believed in God. And through him came the seed that was ultimately worked down to the Savior coming into the world. Abraham's faith. We all have a purpose. And sometimes I think we lose the idea of what that purpose is in the daily life, our daily lives of doing and going this. But do you know, we like to look and think that everything's some big thing. But I'll challenge you this. Look into the life of Elijah. And you take the few events of Elijah's life that the Bible records. And you add those up. Then you figure how long this character lived. What was he doing the rest of the time? He was acting like me and you do. He's going through life, living life. That's what he was doing. God never made anybody just going along all the time in some big spiritual thing. It don't work that way. But you know, in every one of us, there's a purpose. Your job and the people you work with, there's a purpose. To the people you come in contact with around, there's a purpose there. There's a purpose in our lives. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was so called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It goes on and talks about the other ones, and you can read this if you want, but it goes down, and many of these people, they come down with the same thing of Moses, and you think of the purpose and of his life and what he did in his life and the purpose and what God brought him to. And you remember Moses was the one that said, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't speak. He had some problem. I can't do it." Moses. You're not dealing with men here. You're not getting your purpose from man. You're getting it from the one that can fulfill it in your life. Moses, you can be successful. Come and do what you have to do. You know, Moses was able to fulfill the plan of God in his life because he trusted in the Lord and went the way of the Lord. And you can go on and on in the Scripture. I think of Esther. You remember when Mordecai said to Esther, maybe it was this time that the Lord has brought you to in this circumstance. This is it. And he said to her, the Lord will deliver us. But maybe this is your place and purpose and time. And when told, she said, all right, I tell you what to do. Me and all my handmaids are going to fast. And you get all the people. And a certain time, I'm going to go into the king. Do you know she could have lost her life there? But she accepted the purpose of her life. That was her purpose. That's what God had brought her for. There is a well of purpose for every one of us. And I believe that that well is like all the other wells. It's a place of drawing. It's a place to seeking. Lord, what is my place, my purpose? Help me to be in that place. And help me to say yes to the leadings of God in all of these places. Another one I thought about was King Hezekiah. You remember the time that King Hezekiah was faced with a dilemma. The Syrian army was coming. Sennacherib and his armies. And they was coming up, and you remember they come up there and was speaking in Hebrew, and their whole point and purpose was, and they said, now don't
in my words again, but don't let Hezekiah tell you folks and try to get you to believe in your God, because we've already faced a whole bunch of people and their gods, and none of their gods could deliver them from our great force and our mighty army, and yours won't deliver you either. So you just as well give up. Make it easy on yourself. Come with the same thing, and you remember the letter that Hezekiah had speaking these things. And what did Hezekiah do? He believed in that one that had been spoken of. He believed in the one that had been told of and foretold of. He believed in the God of Abraham. And he believed in the God of Moses and of Joshua and of Gideon. And so King Hezekiah says, he takes it before the Lord and stretches it out. And in my words, he went to the well of purpose. Lord, make your purpose known. Do your will in this. You see, we're not able to come up against a great army like this. So I give it to you, Lord. This is where we're at. And we're not able to do it. Oh, Sennacherib, he was quite a fellow, wasn't he? His 180,000 men, wasn't it? The Lord smote him. And if I'm not mistaken, Sennacherib went back and was killed by his own family members. His boasting about his ability to overthrow God. That's what the world does. Listen, folks, the world has all kind of causes. There's causes out there, like I said, anti-smoking. There's an obesity campaign. There is a health food. These things are worthy for the body. But there's all kind of purposes and causes that the world wants to try to give the people of the world. To be able to, this is my cause. I'll fly my banner for this. People of God, we have a purpose. And it's to live and glorify God with our lives. And to prove that the God of the ancients is still a God of 2010. I still believe God heals. We have been challenged so much, but I'm going to tell you, He still heals. He has done so much for us in our lives. And I am heartbroken at times to see it look like He's not there at all in people's lives. I remember a testimony we had at home. Keith Beveridge, Jr., Keith E., was a little boy. He was playing outside the chapel. I think he was up on the fence and he fell and clearly broke his arm. Clearly broke it. They took him into the altar and laid him on the altar. And Brother Sammons prayed for him. And he testified to this. When he left the chapel that night, he opened the car door with that arm. He told me that story, and I said to him, lest we forget. Yes. And you should have seen the look on his face. And he said, yes, lest we forget. He's still alive. He's still there. He still works for his people. He still rewards faith. In Him. Lord, help us to have faith in Him. There's still a purpose. There's still a purpose. You know what Goliath represented? One magnificent, great big hunk of flesh. That's what that giant was. And David was brought him down with faith in God. Everything that presses and fights against us is the flesh. Everything the world promotes is of the flesh and tries to promote it in one way or another, but it's the flesh. Lord, help you and I to get a purpose above just the flesh. Oh, I ain't making any
I hope you get it right. I ain't criticizing. I'm just saying when I see what the Lord has done and know what He's done in the past and where He sets and what He can do, it just makes me think we ought to have greater purpose in our lives to Him.